Hello, you're listening to Truth News Radio Australia. It's Thursday, the 15th of May, 2008. Tonight, police harassment of Palestinian art exhibition, another look at the global warming scam, a new citizen database proposed by the Rudd Labor government, and does the Reserve Bank need an independent governor? All this and more on a fantastic action-packed show. I'm Herewood Fenton.
And I'm Joshua Jackson, and this is Truth News Radio Australia.
We'll just kick off with some international news headlines.
Brit cops take airport scanners to the streets. Evening Standard. Our objective is not about harassing anybody. It's about making everybody as safe as we possibly can in London. Translation, the cops are assigned to get the commoners accustomed to living in a police state.
Hezbollah rules West Beirut in Iran's proxy war with the US. From Robert Fisk. No, this is not a civil war, nor is it a coup d'etat, though it meets some of the criteria. It is part of the war against America in the Middle East.
JP Morgan Chase CEO, recession just the beginning. Money News. One man's recession is another man's depression.
Our lead story for tonight. Sydney. Palestinian exhibition axed after police visit. Now, this story, Josh, has been quite an incredible one and really has shown, I think, the hand of the shadow government and those who wish to basically assert their power over us. What do you think?
Look, I think this is an extremely important story, everybody, because this is basically the start of black henchman-style...
Well, it's really men in black.
Yeah, it's intimidation. It's black henchman-style intimidation onto subject matter that the government doesn't want people... the normal people, like a local council library, to engage in. And for the Secret Service, is it the Secret Service?
Well, actually, it was a police counterterrorism squad.
Yeah, the counterterrorism squad visited this local council library.
At night.
And then basically, would you say interrogated?
I would say intimidated is
intimidated.
The word.
Yeah, they intimidated librarians.
Yeah. Yes.
At nighttime. And the next day, the librarian said, stuff this, we're going to pull the exhibition. And what was the exhibition, Herewood?
The exhibition was organised by a group called the Friends of Hebron, and it was highlighting the plight and general conditions of people who live on the West Bank in Israel.
So you would say that it's not promoting strapping bombs to yourself and saying, hey, that's a good thing. They were just basically saying, look at the desperation that these people are into.
Well, I think that, you know, a librarian looked at it and decided that it was suitable for the general public and for children.
Right.
And it had been scheduled and ready to go. It was basically the exhibition was ready. It was about to be opened.
Look, I feel physically sick that a counterterrorism arm of the government should be telling me, a citizen who pays their bills, that I can't look at an exhibition, that they should be censoring an art exhibition. I think it's absolutely repulsive and repugnant.
I totally agree. And I'm just going to read you a couple of segments from some of the coverage that's been done on this story from the Sydney Morning Herald. The story reads by Arjun Ramachandran of the Sydney Morning Herald, to whom we are very grateful for bringing us this information. The decision by a Sydney library to dump an art exhibition about Palestinian refugees after a visit by counter-terrorism police the night before it opened has been criticised as an act of censorship. Leichhardt Municipal Library was to launch the Al-Nakba pictorial exhibition last Friday. A local community group, Friends of Hebron, had developed the display of photos, poems and articles over 8 months. We set up the exhibition at the library on Thursday night, and the librarian approved the exhibition and said that it could be seen by children and other people who went to the library.
So there's obviously no extremely offensive imagery here. This is almost like the counterterrorism arm of our government is saying that we don't want any sort of independent coverage of the war on the West Bank.
Indeed. I mean, look, it was suggested in one of the articles on the topic that the reason the exhibition was taken down was because there were some captions or some images in the exhibition which might be considered divisive to the community. Now,
I don't care. Why isn't the appropriate arm, let's say the censorship arm or something like that, why are the Secret Service or the Counterterrorism Act coming to these librarians at night time and confronting them and intimidating them?
Well, I mean, this is the most truly incredible part of the whole affair. I mean, this is the police acting in a way which you can only really call thuggish. I mean, it's sort of gangsterish, really, isn't it? I mean, they come and they knock on your door and they go, well, you know, if you know what's good for you, you know, you probably maybe better not do this, huh?
This is 1935.
You know? Yeah, you can do whatever you want, but we think maybe for your safety you might be smarter. You want to be smart? You want to be smart? Maybe you don't do this, huh?
Yeah, we're not saying anything here. We're just advising you.
But I mean, there's definitely this level, and we've seen it in America. I mean, we've seen a lot of this stuff on the Alex Jones show being discussed, and it's happening here too. And this is what we've got to face.
Honestly. If people don't think that this is out of the ordinary, if they don't think that this is 1935 style Germany, where people start getting rounded up and told what to think and what sort of art. I mean, art is the first thing to be attacked when the government is slowly positioning itself into. Mm. Building more of a totalitarian, more of a controlled nanny police state.
I mean, look, there's a great tradition of art being used in the service of causes, of you know, social justice issues. I mean, Picasso, one of Picasso's most famous paintings is about the fascist bombing of a Spanish town in the mid-1930s. A lot of the great art from many different periods has been inspired by
dissenting voices.
By dissenting voices, and of course, this does have a very strong message, and there is an ongoing political movement. However, the use of police in this case, the use of terrorism trained police, is just abominable. It's just beyond look, anything we can even begin to tolerate.
It says to me that. The police could do the same thing with this radio show by saying coming in here and saying that we cannot talk about what we're talking about. That you know, what is the difference between a picture and a voice?
Well, I mean, they say you shouldn't really be divisive, but I mean, it's our right to be divisive. It's our right to call out things that we find abhorrent.
It's everything our forefathers have fought for. It's why the Anzacs died. Is for the freedoms that we have. This is the exact thing that big government is slowly, not even slowly anymore, is quite vigorously projecting more and more power into censorship, A, and B, control over information.
Now, I'd like to guarantee and promise to our listeners that we here at Truth News, we will be following up this story. We will not just let this one go. We won't just like tell you about it and then forget about it. We're going to be following up the people concerned. We're going to be calling them. We're going to be asking them for interviews. And if they won't do an interview voluntarily, we're going to be doing some guerrilla-style journalism to basically track them down and to get something on record as to what actually occurred and why it occurred.
And we've now got a Skype number, a Skype name. It's Truth News Radio is our Skype name. So if you'd like to give us a call at any time,
we'll be providing that number for you next week.
Yeah, we will have an actual telephone number and an answering machine service so you can leave your messages. That's coming up. But with this issue, I think it's extremely important that all of our listeners find out more and complain to their local representatives, ring up Leichhardt Council and ask them what is going on.
And the police have to be censured over this. The police cannot be allowed to behave in this way at our peril, you know, at the peril of the people of the country.
Well, there had to be someone who actually asked for the police to go and ordered the police to do this.
And so, yeah, we can speculate about that. We can speculate till the cows come home about who that might have been. I mean, I suspect an Israel lobby within this city may have had something to do with it.
Well, it could well be. But like you said, there's no point speculating because then we just look like a-holes.
But indeed.
I think the important thing to do is that everybody, all our listeners, find out. Go and ring the libraries, ring your local representatives, ask, what is this all about? And if you want to Google the headline is...
Okay, there's a couple of them. The first one was also in the Herald. It was, "We're just here to say hi, Terror Squad." If you want to Google it, I suggest you Google the following one, which was, "Palestinian exhibition axed after police visit." So Google that.
Palestinian exhibition axed after police visit. I mean, does that not sound like some extremist police state to you? I mean,
it sounds like something out of Nazi Germany to me.
Yeah, or extreme China. You know, it's... This is so wrong in so many facets, and that's why we're bringing it to you here on Truth News Radio. Government plans central citizen database.
This is a story published in The Australian this week on May 13th. The federal government has moved to establish a centralised database to host and manage all Australian citizens' personal details, so this information can be easily shared and accessed by any department. The Australian Taxation Office, Department of Immigration and Citizenship, Customs, Centrelink, and other departments are discussing the possibility of establishing a common registration process to improve information sharing.
Now, if this doesn't sound like a smart card, I don't know what is. I mean, this is exactly what the opposition party, then last year, the then in power Howard Liberal Party was proposing. And the Labor Party, which is the Rudd Party now, was against. So they basically scrapped the thing that they were against because they were in opposition. And now that they're in power, they're for it.
Look, your comment there highlights a massive problem with so-called representative democracy, where we have two major parties that dominate the entire political spectrum, and their policies just sort of parrot each other, but in tandem, so that, you know, when one's in power, the other takes a certain position.
Well, it's just and vice versa. It's handing the baton, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a big relay race. They hand the baton over. And look, folks, if you don't think you are being controlled by something more than our government, then you just have to literally just take a moment, open up that brain cells of yours, because I know you've got them, and have a look and see the fact that every policy is not ended. They might be ended slightly and then renamed, repackaged, and reshipped. And if you look at it from, if you step back a bit, every policy or every, how would you say,
agenda,
every agenda is followed through with. So databasing citizens.
Both major parties have tried to push through ID cards at different times. The Labor Party tried to do it in the mid-1980s and failed miserably. It was pushed by Bob Hawke, and it was going to be called the Australia Card. I don't know if you can remember back that far, but it's a while back. It failed miserably, you know, and the Howard government tried to push through a plan which they were calling the Access Card. And that was opposed by Labor, just as the ID card was opposed by Liberal. And now the new government is sneaking through the back door a system which will basically achieve the same result by centralizing all information. You see, the key to what they wanted to control is centralizing of information.
Well, that's the thing. If you talk to the common McDonald's eating numbskull, on the streets, they'll say, well, I've already got a driver's license. You know, that's an ID card. What are you talking about? What's the fucking problem, man?
I know. They'll say, oh, you're one of those, you know, funny types.
If you haven't got anything to hide, then it doesn't matter, does it? But
people who like to complain.
It's not the card, folks. It's the database. It's the database. It's the databasing of everybody's information to a central core information, which can be manipulated, stolen, or used in any which way they want or feel fit. Look,
we don't accept, and when I say we, I mean more than just Josh and I. I mean we, the people who've got some sense. We don't accept the idea that the individual is reduced to a number. We just don't accept that proposition. We don't like the idea of being tagged, chipped, tracked, and identified, and have all that information centralized in some place, because we feel it's an assault on our dignity.
Look, when that happens, we're no longer citizens; we're subjects. Basically, we turn into numbers, and that's the problem. We the people own our government. Our government doesn't own us and doesn't control us. And it is so fundamentally important.
Well, the farmer brands his cattle, right? Because the farmer owns the cow. So he brands the cow. And that's all well and good for a farmer, okay, to do with his property, his animals, right? But do we accept to be branded? Is that basically what we're saying? You can brand me so that I can be then identified at all times. And this is somehow for my own good? I mean, does the cow think that this is somehow for its own good to be branded? I mean, we know from the cow's point of view, it's not for its own good, because we know where the cow's going. and so you have to consider what these things could in practice be actually
look,
used for.
The thing is that eventually governments gain more and more power, and it is the people's obligation in society is to restrict power from government. The bigger the government, the more tyranny, the more laws, the more fines, the more control, the more prisons. And look,
all power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Absolutely. And if you folks think that Hitler was some man that was black and white, and they moved kind of quickly, and it was kind of just something with weird grain on that. It's just a film, a black and white film.
And as if it was suddenly Nazi stormtroopers just bursting out, you know, out of the blue onto the streets and into your house. It happened slowly. It happened over 10, 15 years. It was a very gradual process.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you think it can't happen again, if you think that all of a sudden the human condition is just gloriously evolved past the need for corrupt power elite to control the citizens, then you're absolutely and remarkably disinformed, I guess. You got your heads in the clouds. So it's very, 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 very important that we do not get databased by our government, and that we don't allow, that we get outraged by even the mere thought of the government wanting to combine databases purely because the technology is available and they are using fear to cattle drive us through the fences into a program such as this, such as apartheid Africa or Nazi Germany. Have you got your papers? Wo sind deine Papier?
Look, Josh, I read a blog post this morning from a US soldier who was quite distressed to find that he was going to be required to have an RFID chip embedded in his arm.
Totally carcinogenic.
Because he had been selected. Apparently 1% of all US soldiers currently serving are involuntarily chipped. They have to take it. It's part of their military service.
Don't they? They are basically slabs of meat that the military can do whatever they want.
Yeah, they can experiment with all kinds of things on them. And this particular one is basically, they say, to monitor stress. So soldiers going into combat in Iraq will have, you know, these ships in their arms to monitor their stress levels.
That's right. And they send radio frequencies out to back to base.
Sure, sure. The RFID chip has already been used in prisons. It's been used all over the United States in prisons now. It's also being used in the UK on day release programs.
It's also being used on Alzheimer's patients.
It's coming in a variety of different guises.
And a lot of people are quite against it. So what's happened is that it's coming through the consumption line. So Levi's, instead of tracking crates of jeans, they want to start tracking individual jeans. Now, what this happens to mean is that every bit of clothing, including your T-shirt and jeans and shoes, all have an RFID chip that if a certain person wanted a reader, they could just go blip, blip. You just put a reader on the door, so when you walk through, it reads every bit of clothing on you and goes, profile, this is Joshua Jackson, and he's obviously spends quite a lot in his clothing, advertise this and this to him. Now, that is the mundane,
But even that's not very nice.
No, it absolutely isn't. It's like, oh, this person doesn't spend much, get him out of the store.
Yeah, it's manipulative.
Yeah. But this is how it all happens. It's through market play and telling consumers it's quite, you know, just sort of omnious and you don't worry about it. It's just yes. to advertise better to you. So we can advertise better. You don't want to hear ads for things you don't want to know about. So
but see, we need most these people don't even want ads at all. No, I mean, no one really says, you know, give me an ad.
Yeah, but look, you got to face it, Harold, that there's going to be advertising. So we can't get
sure,
around that. But
sure.
to be sold these things, to be saying you don't want to be sold a car when you're not looking for one. So anyway, digressing. The point is, once these chips start coming into people, that started into a database. That's then linked to a government database, which is the database of you and the Australia card, the smart card, which is then linked to your debit card, which the article later on goes on to discuss, is that the debit card that we mentioned in last week's show, that the poor old Aboriginal Australians in the Northern Territory
yeah.
are having to now use so they don't buy alcohol, the control of the debit card is then integrated into the central database of what you spend, who you are, what you do, where you move, everything about you.
Look, I find it very hard to imagine a scenario where these kinds of tracking systems and, you know, information data mining has any positive benefit at all. And I know that there's been a lot of effort to put positive spin on it because they talk about the Alzheimer's patient, you see. But you see, these are very peculiar examples that they find to try and make you think that something that really has no benefit, no positive, basically to make you think that it's something that's actually good.
Folks,
it has no positive.
The challenge
all,
is out
all
there.
Of its uses are at best manipulative, and at worst, they become part of a framework, an apparatus of authoritarian control.
It becomes the apparatus, absolutely, of a dictatorship. And if the person, if someone had the means or the need to look something up on you, yeah. I mean, it's already bad enough with the internet, but that's your choice.
I mean, look, if my grandmother has Alzheimer's, right, I don't want her welfare to be put in the hands of a chip. I mean, if she's got Alzheimer's, she needs to have someone with her taking care of her.
Absolutely.
For her emotional needs.
This is the degradation
of
society.
Not to be like tracked like a dog because she's wandered off, she's lost her mind. I mean, that is not...
No, that's right.
That's not a sign of compassion.
Yeah. Oh, this woman's got Alzheimer's. Let's let her go into the shopping center by herself.
Wander around completely without anyone taking care of her.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, Harold, because she's chipped. We'll find her at the end of the day.
It's just, it's insulting.
Well, what this is, it's the degradation of society. Look, the challenge is out there, folks. Give Truth News Radio on Skype a call. Or leave a comment on the website, truthnews.com.au.
We'll have that number for you next week.
And tell us, if you can, the challenge is out there. Give us a positive reason that what a government central database could possibly do. How could it be possibly positive? Because honestly, I can't think of one. I just think it's absolutely and positively repulsive.
What about fighting rorts of the social security system?
Well... it's just going to cause more. It's going to cause black market debit cards. It's going to – there is no – why – okay, let's just look at the mathematics of that. To set up this control database, it's going to cost well above $500 million to $1 billion, right?
It's not going to come cheap.
It's not going to come cheap. Yeah. So to fight welfare – I mean, welfare should be slowly abolished anyway, because we should be living in a society where we don't need it, where people want to work, and the few that are physically and mentally incapable of working are looked after by small social groups like churches or
well, there's plenty of wealth. There's enough wealth in the society for us all to be able to have a reasonable quality of life.
Oh, absolutely. But the manipulation of the money system and everything causes us to be absolute pricks to each other, to then leave our old mothers and fathers rotting in old folks' home and RFID chipped in case they get lost. I mean, I just think it's absolutely terrible. It's a terrible state of affairs. And you know, we don't want to be negative on this show, but we're just telling it how it is.
Critical. We want to be. We want to cut through a lot of the nonsense and a lot of the deception, but we don't want to just be negative for being negative's sake.
No, but honestly, folks, if you think that there's any slight bit of positive result out of databasing everybody, please let us know, because I'm just lost for words. Honestly, I just can't believe it. When I read articles like that, it makes me want to cry that our society has become so fearful of whatever.
It makes me choke. I mean, look, let's break for a song.
Let's do it.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that the boat is leaking. Everybody knows the captain lied. Everybody got this broken feeling, like their father or their dog just died. Everybody talking to their pockets. Everybody wants a box of chocolates and a long stem rose. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that you love me, baby. Everybody knows that you really do. Everybody knows that you've been faithful, give or take a night or two. Everybody knows you've been discreet, but there were so many people you just had to meet without your clothes. And everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows that's how it goes. Everybody knows. And everybody knows that it's now or never. Everybody knows that it's me or you. And everybody knows that you live forever. Oh, when you Everybody knows the deal is rotten. Old Black Joe still picking cotton for your ribbons and bow. And everybody knows. And everybody knows that the plague is coming. Everybody knows that it's moving fast. Everybody knows that the naked man and woman are just a shining artifact of the past. Everybody knows the scene is dead, but there's gonna be a meter on your bed that will disclose what everybody knows. And everybody knows that you're in trouble. Everybody knows what you've been through. From the bloody cross on top of Calvary to the beach in Malibu. Everybody knows it's coming upon. Take one last look at this sacred heart before it blows.
Well, I've cooled down a little bit.
Oh, I tell you, I needed that to cool down. Just the thought of databasing everybody in Australia, one of the most freest countries in the world, really offends me.
We're free, but we don't know we're free.
That's how it goes.
Well, everybody's born.
Because everybody knows, you see.
Everybody knows.
Everybody knows, except the innocent, sort of overly idealistic, who kind of thinks that maybe we shouldn't be crooked. Maybe we shouldn't tell lies. Maybe we shouldn't allow corruption to run rampant.
Everybody, you know, maybe we shouldn't just turn a blind eye. Maybe we shouldn't say the problem's too big for me. Maybe we shouldn't say the problem's too big to even think about. You know, let the important people. But I think everybody knows. What's really deep inside, everybody does know what's going on.
And I think deep inside, everybody knows that it's just not good enough to live your life based on lies.
No, but they choose to ignore it because they're feathering their own nests with with their jobs and their money. And anyhow, what's the next thing up on the agenda?
Well, we've got global warming to look at, Josh. And I know it's a subject that just it's an elephant, you know, in the living room, and we really don't have room to accommodate it in the last half hour of the show. However, I think it's our duty to at least try to begin, because we're going to keep coming back to this, folks. We're going to come back to it again and again and again relentlessly, because it's one of these topics that needs to be addressed from the point of view of truthfulness, scientific legitimacy, and just genuineness.
Okay, I just want to start off this segment by stating that I myself am a greenie. In fact, I'm a member of the Greens.
Are you saying you're not an anti-environmentalist?
No, I'm not. I'm extremely green. All my life, I used to bring home the Glad wrap on my sandwiches so I could recycle it and wrap it another day. So just
tell us where you stand on this whole issue of, dare we call it climate change or should we call it global warming? I'm still a little bit confused about the meaning of those two terms. But let's start off with the term global warming, because I think we're a bit more familiar with that.
This is where I stand, right? Climate change is absolutely happening, and it has been since the beginning of time. There is no such thing as a stable climate. There has been fluctuations in the Earth's climate, like I said, since the beginning of time. And for people to assume that humans are changing the climate is so absurd But don't take our words for it. We're going to try to, just a little bit, go through some of the facts and some of the scientists, because the first thing people say is, look, you're not a scientist. How can you refute global warming, man-made global warming? You shouldn't have an opinion. You're not a scientist. Well, okay, fair enough. But why does Al Gore have an opinion? He's not a scientist. He's a politician and a businessman.
Of course, yeah, but then people would say, well, he's hired a whole lot of, you know, experts and, you know, he relies on their expertise.
Okay, but, well, what we've done is we've dug up thousands, this is literally thousands of scientists refuting the man-made global warming fiasco. Now, we're not saying that the globe hasn't been warming.
And also, I think it's important to point out that we're not saying that it's not possible that human beings could change their environment.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, it's theoretically possible. We're just saying there is no evidence of it.
So,
I mean, that's what I'm saying anyway.
Well, to be honest, I find it extraordinarily hard to believe that humans can change the entire Earth's environment. I think,
unlikely.
Like you said, it could happen if we really.
But you'd want to have some good, hard, rock solid evidence to back up such an extraordinary claim, wouldn't you? I mean, if you're going to say Martians were coming, you'd want to have good evidence of that as well. And if you wanted to say, well, you know, human beings have caused the temperature to raise a quarter of a degree, look, you'd want to be damn sure of what you're saying.
Harold, I wouldn't have such a big issue with the fanaticism if it wasn't about the global carbon tax and these fanaticists going around saying that we need to tax and have a carbon trading scheme. You know, we've already got the fanaticism jumping to the next level where they're saying everybody needs to pay for a lifetime of carbon credits because they breathe out carbon dioxide. I mean, this is so stupid. It is literally, it's so numbskullingly stupid to think that our breathing has anything to do with the climate on the Earth.
Just to cover the background of this for those not totally familiar with it, there's been a number of government proposals come from different parts of the world about how a carbon trading scheme could be implemented on a national level. Now, the Labor government in the UK proposed a couple of years ago a carbon debit card, and this is one of the most extreme measures that's been proposed anywhere, and it was covered here in the news at the time. And that the plan was to issue every citizen a card. And interesting, this proposal of the carbon debit card became something like a combination of the, you know, the national ID card, the government debit card, and a new form of taxation,
yes,
all rolled into one. I mean, that's right. The, you know, the diabolical genius of it.
Diabolical. It is. It's like something out of Batman. It's just so refutably. Anyway, yes.
Indeed. And I mean, well, I think that may have sort of fallen flat. I haven't heard too much more about
it. Well, okay, this is how it worked, right? Everybody get given a debit card, and to use your heater, you had to use up a certain amount of carbon credits. If you've used them all up, you have to buy more, or you don't have heating or gas or actually, I think it would end up, you can't buy meat either because the meat farts out methanes and...
Well, look, I mean, certain activities would supposedly, allegedly, increase your carbon footprint. And those activities would incur carbon points. And, for example, going on a holiday. Oh, horrendous.
You know, absolutely.
I mean, that's
your heating bill for the year.
Sure.
You can either go on a holiday or you can live with a bit of warmth.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you decide to go on a holiday, it's fine, but you're probably going to just have to go through winter with, like, you know, one heater instead of, you know, maybe a heater on half for winter. Okay.
And, okay, so.
I mean, when people go on holidays, they often catch planes, and I think that was part of the reason for it. So if you fly on a plane, emissions, no, naughty. Okay?
No. So instead of actually giving us new technologies and giving us, you know, instead of them not subsidizing massive petroleum economies and actually subsidizing free energy like solar or wind, instead of doing that, they tax us and continue the old form of petroleum-based products. Now, that is if you believe in carbon ruining or heating up the planet. Okay, people that are diehard global warming
enthusiasts
or being totally propaganded, please hear us out, because there's no use in you just turning a blind eye. Please, because I did too. It was only 3 years ago where I just thought global warming totally man-made. But then I actually decided to listen to someone that had some evidence from thousands of scientists, and I looked at the graph. So let's just have a look at carbon. Well, let's just have a look at greenhouse gases in general. Let's look at the pie, the greenhouse gas pie.
The pie chart.
So picture this, Harold. A pie, a circle. Now, 96% of this pie of global warming gases.
These are greenhouse gases, nasty, evil greenhouse gases.
Right? Yes. Which, if without, we'd actually all fry and die. You know, but anyway, 96% of greenhouse gases is dun dun dun.
Wait for it.
Water vapor.
Oh my God!
Yes, water vapor, folks.
It's a toxic waste.
Stop showering because that steam goes somewhere. You know,
it's not clean.
No, water vapor, right?
Clean energy, free from that horrible stuff called water.
Water vapor, which creates the clouds, and you know, it's 96% of all greenhouse gases.
80% of your body's made up of it, by the way.
Of water, yeah. Well, water should be banned.
It's a toxic greenhouse gas.
So let's look at the other 3%, which is there's 4 more percent, but 3% is methanes and a whole gamut of gases. There's a heap of them. There's a heap of them. Make up 3%. Now, 1%. Now, look, and I'm not exactly accurate here, but it's around 1%.
Look, we're not climate scientists, okay?
We're not climate scientists, but around 1% of the other gases are carbon dioxides, right? That's 1% of all greenhouse gases. Okay, now how much of that 1%, Harold, is human-created carbon dioxide? How much of that 1%?
Well, I don't know. How about all of it?
No, less. 0.03%.
That's a small amount of a small amount of a small amount.
Or is it 0.3? But anyway, it's ridiculously small.
It's a small amount.
It's a small amount. 0.3%, let's say, of the 1%. Of the entire world, it's humans. The rest of the...
We'll clarify these details in subsequent shows.
We will clarify.
We're going to get into this subject in minute detail. We're not going to let it go. We're going to be like a dog with a bone on this one.
Yeah, absolutely. But the rest of it is, you know, oceans and volcanoes. And
I'll do my little spiel now. Okay. I'll do my spiel. Okay,
go. Take it away.
Okay, yeah. Okay, now, the Earth is estimated to be around about 3 to 4 billion years old, okay?
Unless you're a Christian.
Yeah, well, there's a whole other issues there. But, and in the history of the planet, geologists have divided up the geological ages, and they give them a variety of nice names, and the geological age, which... represents most of human existence, was called the Pleistocene. Okay, the age that we're currently in, which is arbitrarily defined as being beginning about 10,000 years ago, is called the Holocene. But the question of whether or not really the Pleistocene ended and the Holocene began 10,000 years ago, I don't think is something that could be ascertained because it's such a short time frame. You know, geologists look at the world in millions of years, not thousands of years. But it's convenient to call the current age something different to what, you know, the million or 2 years prior to the ending of the last ice age called.
Right.
So that period is called the Pleistocene, and the period we're in now is called the Holocene. Well, guess what? The entire Pleistocene was dominated by ice. The entire, more than a million years of that period was dominated by ice ages, but it's actually called one ice age. Geologically speaking, the entire Pleistocene is one ice age. But during that ice age, there were intervals. They were called interglacials, where you would have a warming trend that would last 20 to 30,000 years maximum, and then it would cool off again. And this pattern has been repeated very, very regularly for over a million years. So you get 100,000 years of uninterrupted glaciation, where most of the Northern Hemisphere is heavily glaciated, most of Northern Europe, all of Northern America, Tasmania was completely covered in ice, half of New Zealand was completely covered in ice, and the average global temperature was something like 14 degrees cooler than what it is now.
Yeah, that's a whole lot of ice.
This has been the standard and the norm of this planet. The warmer periods are rare. They do occur, but they last a short period of time. But when those warm periods do occur, it provides an incredible opportunity for growth and development.
Well, life flourishes.
Yeah, and if you look at the modern human era, the dawn of modern civilizations began with the thawing of the ice around about 10,000 years ago.
Now, why did the ice thaw? Was it because all the dinosaurs started driving SUVs?
Look, yeah, very good point. And you know, the reason why we need to look back through history is so we can realize that there are giant cycles and that the climate does change, but it changes by mechanisms that have nothing to do with us, okay? And one of the theories as to why the regular interglacials occurred was due to it's a cycle, and there's a particular man who discovered it, and the name is named after that man. I can't remember it off the top of my head.
Slipped your mind.
But it is to do with the distance of the Earth from the sun. And due to orbital eccentricities, there is a regular change in the average distance between the Earth and the sun, which actually makes, at a certain point, the Earth does actually get closer to the sun.
If people don't think that would make much difference, you just need to climb to the top of a mountain and you get way more burnt, but it's so much easier to get burnt on the top of a mountain, or even not even burnt, but you just feel hot up there. So that's just a pissy little mountain. Imagine moving.
Have you ever lain on the grass? I was today at lunchtime. I went to the park. I work near a park, and I lay on the grass in the sun. It was very warm, very warm indeed.
So if you move up into the mountain, and the mountain isn't very high, you know, I mean, let's take the highest peak of an all, Everest. Compared to the distance, we would shift towards the sun and back.
Milankovitch cycles. Sorry, that was the name I was trying to remember before.
Oh, there we go. See?
Yeah, Milankovitch. That was the man that discovered them. And it's to do with a very regular change in the position of the Earth's orbit.
And those shifts would make an extraordinary amount of difference.
Enough to cause a large part of the planet to freeze over solid and then to completely thaw out.
Now, these cycles are... What? How many years?
These are huge cycles,
thousands,
Josh.
Thousands of years. Yeah.
These are thousands of years cycles.
Yeah.
But there are also shorter cycles to do with solar output.
And these cycles, folks, are like summer and winter to us, but they're very long. There is cycles within cycles within cycles. Earth is built around cycles. Mother Nature is one big cycle within a cycle within cycle within cycles. And to say that this heating process that we're going through now is all caused by us is so absurd and sick. that I just find it impossible to believe that so many people have actually fallen for it.
The evidence for climate change is always
man-made catastrophic climate change.
Well, man-made according to some, but to me, I believe that the evidence of climate change is there, but it's always associated with the sun. And there, you know, there are two forms. There's this form, the larger cycle, which is the Earth's orbit, and shorter cycles caused by solar activity, which is sunspots and overall solar output.
And this is the reason they're stating that all the planets are heating up the exact same amount as Earth has.
Yeah, there's been peer-reviewed scientific research on this.
And the fact is, there's not been one peer-reviewed paper that's been written that refutes or can discard the thousands of scientists saying that this isn't the fact, that the sun isn't the reason. So there's not one global warming fanatic white paper saying that, no, humans are the only reason and this is why it's happening.
And you know what the main reason for that is, in my opinion, is that global warming science is really a political dogma.
Absolutely.
And it is.
And this is the reason why it's on Truth News.
Yeah, absolutely.
Radio Australia. Because.
Because we have to deconstruct it.
We have to deconstruct it. And why, Herod, tell me why we're so passionate about getting the truth about this out. Because I personally hate petrol. I can't stand the stuff. I'd much rather have an electric car. I'd much rather have a hydrogen-based economy. I don't even like cars much at all. No, you don't even have one.
I find cars very uncomfortable. I find them. They're not. I feel hemmed in when I'm in a car.
But we need them, right? We need cars. We need
trucks. Look, I'm a guy who likes to walk. I don't know.
Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, I would much rather abolish petrol because I don't like breathing in the fumes through the city. It's disgusting smog and pollutants. It's revolting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of reasons.
Oil spills into oceans that cover poor animals. It's horrific.
There's plenty of pollution. I'm the first to agree that pollution is a terrible problem.
Yeah.
I mean, carbon monoxide. Okay?
Oh, monoxide. That's the real toxin.
It is poisonous. It'll kill you. If you put a hose into your exhaust pipe and feed it into your, house, you'll die.
Yeah.
Okay? It's a poison.
But carbon dioxide is a life-giving force. We are all
plants,
made of
plants
carbon.
Go crazy over it.
People put, if you have a greenhouse, you put a pipe into the greenhouse with carbon dioxide, feed it into it, and the plants go nuts. And this is the other thing, that Al Gore's hockey stick graph, which has been totally
The IPCC
debunked.
Hockey stick.
The IPCC hockey stick. Has.
Shall we discuss that a little bit for our audience? They may not be familiar with it.
Well, if you guys saw the great global
warming swindle.
Swindle. They deconstruct it there a little bit. But the hockey stick is basically the last, since the Industrial Revolution? Do they go back that far?
The reason for the word, the analogy of the hockey stick is actually based on the shape of a graph. And it's a graph that was used by the IPCC, and it was developed
by the
Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. And the hockey stick, so-called, was a graph that purported to show an alarming increase in temperature at the end of the 20th century. And if you look at the graph, it's sort of level and then suddenly it goes up. So it looks a bit like a hockey stick, literally.
Yeah. Now, what they did is they lined up the carbon in the atmosphere, the carbon dioxide, with the heat of the Earth. Now, what they found is they closely match up. Now, what they've done in the TV shows and the movies, like The Inconvenient Truth, is you've got the carbon line underneath the heating line, and when you see the spikes and the troughs, they look like they follow each other exactly. But they in that movie didn't actually put them together. And when you actually bring them together, carbon is always is always running after the heating cycle. So when the planet gets hotter, more carbon arrives because more the ocean creates more carbon. And
this is debunking the theory that carbon drives climate.
Yeah. So the big thing is carbon drives heating, but in the actual fact, carbon always comes a few hundred years after heating.
But the hockey stick is actually different to that. And it's actually a little bit more straightforward. It actually is a product of manipulation of statistics. It's actually a false graph, which has actually been exposed. The mathematics that was used to generate it is actually fraudulent. Say fraudulent mathematics doesn't make sense, but basically you can take data and you can massage it in such a way to produce an end result.
That's right. Yeah.
It's easily done, right? And this is what was done with the data, and there's quite a number of articles on this, and I can recommend one which was published quite recently in the Register, and it actually shows NASA's data as it was published originally. For a period going up to the end of, I think, the 1990s. And then it shows a later version of the same data. And what you can see is they've squashed it all up and they've increased the peaks so that the graph looks different. They've basically changed some of the scaling of their own graphs in retrospect. And you can see the older version of the same graph.
To force an agenda.
To make it look more alarming. And this is the basis of this hockey stick scandal.
So, by the way, folks, if a lot of these articles, we'll be posting links to in our show notes. And that's tell us the address of that.
Well, go to truthnews.com.au and click on the Truth News Australia link, a Radio Australia link.
Spot on.
And I do recommend having a look at an article goes by the title of "Is the Earth Getting Warmer or Cooler? A Tale of Two Thermometers," and this one has got the superb deconstruction of NASA's own data.
So that's a headline. You can Google that, folks. Is the Earth getting warmer, comma, or cooler? Question mark.
I'm just trying to get this browser to work.
That's at theregister.co.uk.
It's at theregister.co.uk. And on this page, you'll find a very, very intriguing and fascinating analysis of some of the data that's been provided. Just a quick synopsis here. A paper published in scientific journal Nature this week has reignited the debate about global warming by predicting that the Earth won't be getting any warmer until 2015. It's a very precise date.
Yeah, what?
Researchers at the Leibniz Institute of Marine Sciences have factored in cyclical oceanic into their climate model and produced a different forecast to the consensus models, which don't. But how will we know whether the Earth is warming or cooling? Today, it all depends on the data source. Two authorities provide us with analysis of long-term surface temperature trends. Both agree on the global temperature trend until 1998, at which time a sharp divergence occurred. The UK Meteorological Office's Hadley Centre for Climate Studies shows worldwide temperatures declining since 1998. According to Hadley's data, the Earth is not much warmer now than it was in 1878 or 1941. By contrast, NASA's data shows worldwide temperatures increasing at a record pace and nearly a full degree warmer than in 1880. And if you go to this page, if you Google the article, is the Earth getting warmer or cooler, you'll see the graphs, and there's a lot of detailed stuff in here, and it's really worth reading. And you don't need to be an expert. You don't need to be a scientist to read this. I've read it. I'm not an expert. I found it incredibly engaging. And it explains here, and we're just looking at it here on the screen, and you can see how they've increased the peaks and the troughs to basically create.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
They've created a scenario to change the appearance of the graph. And like here we've got one version of the graph that shows a particular shape. Here we've got another version of the graph that shows another shape. And the shape here, the second one, looks much more alarming than the first one.
And they're the same data.
Same data.
Now, there's also, for all you global warming alarmists out there, please visit the show notes because we'll also be posting a YouTube conference that Professor Bob Carter presented. He's
a terrific bloke.
He actually deconstructs the whole thing scientifically, points through step by step.
He's a geologist.
Wow.
In the pay of the petrochemical industry.
Is he? Jeez.
Well, he must be. He's a geologist.
Well, he must
be. And all geologists, well, you see, all geologists work for all companies.
Oh, absolutely. And look, the fact of the matter is he's got data, he's got thousands of other scientists backing, and he's looking at all sorts of data. He really doesn't have an axe to grind. But even if he is paid by the oil industry, it really doesn't matter because every scientist is paid by someone. You've got to look at the data. You've got to look at the data they're presenting and make up your own mind. Don't be force-fed. Don't be force-fed by Bob Carter, Professor Bob Carter, that he's telling the truth. Go and look at his research and then look at someone else's research. Figure it out, folks. And honestly, because people are corrupt. People are, you know, paid by people. But it's important to use that little thing in between your ears and do some research. That's what you've got the net for. That's we're living in the most information-saturated age we could possibly imagine. And use it.
And also pay attention to your own environment. I mean, look, it's going to be cool this year. It's already cool now. It was cool last year too. Last year, it was
Sydney's been the coldest summer in 50 years last summer.
Record low temperatures all around the world over the last year. China had incredibly bad blizzards. Iran, terrible, terrible snows. It was a very, very cold year. And it looks like this year isn't going to be another one.
They actually say it's going into a cooling period now.
There's plenty of evidence for it. Plenty.
And there's absolutely. So it is extremely important. And again, we are doing this because they're saying now that this is another extremist, right? A scientist, well, it's not even an extremist. It's just a scientist that gives the government, well, it was actually gives the Liberal government when they were in power, ideas on fixing climate change. And one of the things he put forth was that every person born, every second child born in Australia, so once you have your first child, your second child that you bear, you have to pay $2,000 or $4,000 carbon credits for its life, and some sort of thing every year as well.
There's a sinister agenda here. I mean, and look, it's been in the I've read editorials on this subject, and there are people out there who want to say that the problem is us, and we've got to basically cull the human population in order to save the environment.
And it's
what do you
sick.
Think of that? What do you think of that plan?
Well, it's sick, right? We could have 15, 20 times the population on this earth as we got now. The problem is that our structure is so based on greed and corruption that we don't actually have good self-sustaining societies. Like, I'm not kidding. We need better ways of farming. We need better ways of living. We need to recycle our water properly. We need to do all of that stuff.
Yes.
Absolutely. But we don't need to be lied to about global warming to use fear of ourselves against us. I mean, global warming is basically the George Orwell's Oceania.
Well,
it's an external enemy, which is the worst sort of enemy because it's us.
It's us. And sometimes I draw an analogy between carbon dioxide and the infamous Al-Qaeda.
Oh, absolutely. It's another form of constructed fear. Again, please don't
just Google global warming. I mean, don't even
or global warming fraud.
Put in all different things into Google, yeah, and find the information. It won't take long, and because it's there.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of this stuff is quite well ranked. A lot of dissenting opinion is thankfully still available and well ranked within Google. And you've got it. You've got to search for it.
And
you've
it's interesting, you know, in the 1960s, that was the next big thing was a great big ice age that was going to hit us.
In fact, until the mid 70s, well, that's because the climate was cooling at that time. It was cooling, and it stopped cooling around about 1975. And there was a documentary made in 1973 predicting a new ice age. And you can watch that online as well. All these things are available now through YouTube and Google Video.
Yeah.
The cat's out of the bag. They can't sort of erase history anymore because of the fact of the internet, because of the fact of Google Video, because of so many things now being recorded. We have the ability to undermine a lot of this, you know, doublethink.
Absolutely. A great article to look up, which chronologically goes through the years explaining climate change on this planet, is The Global Warming Scam by Derek Kelly, PhD. Just run that into Google. It was posted on the Asian Times. And it's an amazing article that goes through a lot of stuff. Again, we'll link to it on our show notes.
We will. And please call in next time. Please leave your comments. Criticize us. Go right ahead. We look forward to it. It's a challenge. I think we've run to the end of our time for tonight.
Absolutely. It's been a great show.
It's been superb.
Tell your friends. Tell your family. To listen in and subscribe to the RSS feed. You know, click that little link, get that into your iTunes player and support us.
Spread the news far and wide.
We need it. And,
we're here for the long haul.
Absolutely. All right. With lots of love.
I'm Herriot Fenton.
Joshua Jackson. And this is Truth News Radio Australia.
See you next week.